Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitchell Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia, points all over the East Coast. Commanders offense coordinator Cliff Kingsbury speaking to the media now.
Get it out of the way with some of these other jobs. Have you had talks with any other teams?
Same answer as last week.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Just want to get it out of the way.
We got it out of the way.
So we're, with Jaden, we kind of ask every week, but is there anything more that you still learn about him during these games, and watching him in these moments?
Yeah. I mean, every week I think something new comes up that's specific to the game, but the poise, the work ethic throughout the week, the mentality doesn't waver. I mean, he showed up same time this week, every morning early, and put in the same work he did the week before and the previous 16 weeks. So I think there's specific instances that continue to help him grow and evolve as a player, but he's very consistent in his approach and has been since he got here.
And then De'Ami Brown with the big game last week. There has been a number of times this year where other guys have had that.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen from him this year, and why do you feel like this group kind of rotates who else has that big game?
Yeah, they've all stepped up when the number's been called. And De'Ami is a guy who, when we got here, I had known about him from North Carolina. We obviously looked at him when I was at Arizona. And just the attitude and the approach really has gotten more businesslike and more professional throughout this season, and it's paying off. I mean, he's showing up over and over and over. Always been able to run, always been able to, you know, be really good with the ball in his hands, but his route technique and fundamental things like that are really improving, and it's a credit to him and the way he's approached this season. And so to have a game like that in that type of environment was really cool to see that hard work paying off.
With the run game, coaches will always say, hey, we got to keep running kind of no matter what to a certain degree. And you guys did that the other night, even though some of the numbers yard per carry weren't that great. When you're in the moment and it's not maybe working exactly as you hope, how much discipline is there? Do you need to, hey, we got to stay with this for whatever strategic reason you want to?
Yeah, it's helped me having a defensive head coach, I can tell you that much, because he lets it be known we need to run the football at times that I would maybe in my previous life be airing it out. But we're going to do whatever it takes to win, and we have good backs, and we've had a great scheme throughout the year. We faced some good fronts. I mean, those two guys inside there are as good as anybody we played against all year at Tampa, and the linebackers are tremendous players. So it was a challenge. Todd Bowles is one of the best defensive minds in the league and has been for a long time. So overall, it was a challenge, and we just kept plugging away at it, and Jaden made some plays with his feet that helped us out. But I really, having DQ and just him mentoring me in a way, if you will, just about sticking to the run game, how it affects the defense, you know, seeing it from that perspective has been good for me.
And just early thoughts on Detroit's defensive front.
Yeah, they've done a tremendous job. I've been really impressed. I know some of the numbers don't look as good as they may want, but when you consider the injuries and the things that have happened to them, it's pretty amazing what they've done. And I thought their best performance was, you know, the last time they were out against Minnesota, they were dominant. Whoever they put in plays hard, they're disciplined, and they make you earn every inch. And so that's a credit to Aaron and Dan and the culture they have going there.
I know Quinn has talked a lot about these winning time moments, and now that you guys have won
five games on the very last play from scrimmage. Kind of what goes into it from your standpoint, just in preparing the offense for times like last week where clock management is such a big deal?
Dan's done a tremendous job of just, you know, we talk about on offense being situational masters and repping those things and those type 4-minute drills or 2-minute drills or, you know, centering right, centering left. So we get them a bunch, multiple times each week, and when they show up, the guys are, they've been through it. There's a calm because they've been through it, and they've just executed at a high level when that number's been called.
So what is your feeling on the sideline when it always comes down to that final drive, that final play? Is there any nerves?
I've been
getting
a tighter fade to hide the gray hairs, I don't tell you that much. I do not love it, but it's been a fun group. They're resilient as hell. They keep fighting no matter what, and you know, on the sideline, you always feel like you have a chance, and that's been fun to be a part of.
Is there an emotional or a strategic advantage to hitting a deep ball early like you guys did in Tampa Bay?
More so, I think, getting Terry the ball. He's a guy, you see the sideline erupts, like he gets going. I just got to continue to find ways to get him touches early. But that was a tremendous throw and catch, and definitely gave us some confidence. But when he's involved early, we've been a lot better on offense.
What are the challenges and opportunities facing a guy as aggressive as Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get you. You got to just stay within yourself. I think sometimes you can become an emotional play caller, if you will, and be like, oh, God, we got to make this up. And you just know, hey, with his scheme, there's going to be times that they win and they get you, and you're going to have some negative plays, but you're going to have a chance because they take risks to hit some big ones as well. And I think just staying in your pocket and not trying to force stuff, not getting out of your comfort zone and your rhythm because, you know, they've hit you on a few things. But he's done a tremendous job with that group. Like I said, to have the injuries they've had and still play the level they're playing at right now has been really impressive.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach. What can you say about Jaden's development this year and hitting third and fourth window passes?
That was something that I thought jumped dramatically from his junior to senior year at LSU. And that was the thing that blew me away the most was his progression in the pocket. I thought junior year was okay, but he'd get out and use his legs a lot more. And that second year, he was progressing through, getting to the third, fourth, finding his check down. And that's something that's just, you know, he uses the virtual reality stuff constantly. And I think that really has helped him just hang in that pocket and nail those reads and go through it like he does. But that's for a young guy to stand in there and do what he does and get to those reads has been as good as I've ever seen from a young player.
And then there's some people out there who believe that all the close games you guys have had to win last 30 seconds is actually kind of a sign that you're very beatable and maybe even getting lucky in some of those situations.
I like how you phrase that. Some people
right.
out there.
I know you don't.
Not me bringing up the question.
Yeah, I know you don't necessarily concern yourself with other people who think about that. But what would be kind of your counter to that argument?
Yeah, I don't have a counter. Just that's the NFL, and if you find a way to win six in a row, you're playing at an extremely high level.
We're going to see the two top fourth down offenses in this game. For you, I know that coach tells you in this situation, we're going. Does that, I'm going to use the term free you up, but does that free up the way you call an offense knowing that you're most likely in certain halves of the field, you're going to go four downs?
DQ does a great job of letting me know really prior to the drive, hey, from this point on you'll have it, you know, fourth and three and less or fourth and five and less. So it definitely helps the fact that he's so on top of it prior to the drive, how I call the play sequencing, you know, third down can really become a second down at times. So that's been a great kind of marriage with us. I'm always saying let's go for it on fourth down, so he's got to just, you know, not listen to me half the time, but he does try to give me the heads up, which allows me to call that drive differently.
If you mentioned trying to get Terry the ball, I'm wondering how you've seen the Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin kind of rapport from even the spring workouts last year to now, and how has that maybe changed, if at all, the way you call games?
Yeah, I just, they have built through the year, there's no doubt. I think the first couple of games, the ball wasn't coming to him as much as we would have liked, and, you know, we've had our ups and downs, but teams are also doing stuff to take him away. I mean, he's had a Pro Bowl year, he's second team All-Pro, you know, I think those two guys are just going to get better and better as they go. I mean, they're two very conscientious players that are team-first guys and work really hard at it.
Coach, when you got here back in February, you talked about how your time at USC helped you develop as a coach. When you're looking at your first season here in Washington, how do you feel like you've evolved as a coach and a play caller?
I think every year you take something. This year, just being able to move some of the pieces around and do some different things offensively. I don't think, you know, we knew what we'd have with some of the wideouts or what Zach had left or maybe Eckler. And so just to be able to try to maximize each guy, and then get with the new offensive staff. You know, Brian Johnson's phenomenal. Bobby Johnson, Anthony Lynn, Bobby Engram, Tavita, David Blau, all those guys, you take a little bit of new stuff from them, and they have a huge part of this offense each and every week and what we install and what we game plan with. So that has probably been as big as anything, just the relationships with those guys and learning from them.
Yeah, Cliff, to follow up on what Chico's asking about fourth down, what is your process for coming up with, like, your menu of, like, fourth down plays that you might call in a game? And secondly, like, is there a difference in calling a fourth and short play compared to a third and short play, you know, your own 20 or something like that?
Yeah, you try not to let that be a different mindset. You know, you try to call the best play that's going to gain the line to gain. And that's, if you can really separate that, I think it helps you as a play caller. And then I always think players, not plays. I think, like, the other night on the 4th and 5, it was like that ball was going to go to Zach Ertz no matter what. It was the most first day one base install play we had. And I knew that he would present and give us a chance. So that's really what it comes down to. You'll have your list, but when you're going for it 5 times, you got to get to some other things. And it's always about players first.
Cliff, what is third and medium? I don't know the percentages, but I'd imagine most of these teams, the opposing defense thinks about spying Jaden. Do you account for that as a play caller? What goes into your mind when you know they might have a spy? How do you take advantage or view that?
Yeah, if we've seen some stuff on film previously, and you can figure that out, you know, about the first time they run it, they're usually short a guy somewhere because of that. And so Jaden, like we mentioned earlier, he's so good at progressing through stuff that really helps the passing game. And if they're not spying, he does a good job of feeling it out when it's time to take off and go. So to me, if they want to burn one just spying him, then somebody's going to be open on the back end.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Thank you all.
Cliff Kingsbury talking there. I think offensive coordinators generally look forward to seeing a spy.
Yep.
Because what Cliff said, it means you're 11 on 10 somewhere else.
You like something up.
It's somebody that isn't doing what they should be doing otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I think both the coordinators, pretty clear, pretty funny. I don't think any – you know what I mean? I can't envision any coach thinking – they're in the divisional round being lucky. I think coaches don't really buy into that,
mm-hmm.
especially at this point. You know what I mean? I think for Cliff.
You're lucky because you work at it.
Right. I love the players not plays mentality. And I think as exciting. Dude, Ben Johnson looks to be a fantastic, fantastic coordinator,
mm-hmm.
right? But that team is also loaded.
Yeah.
And I think, like, we should all be kind of cognizant of that. And I think, you know, going forward, it's like, all right, what exactly is the situation for Washington to devise the right game plan going into this thing? And I think we've talked a lot about the short passing and trying to shorten this game with really yeah. long drives. And I think that's going to be a huge part of it, don't you?
I think it is. I think my plan, like this week, I do at least top three every week, and I was talking to you earlier about it. My top players are Witt, Kingsbury. I believe those game plans are going to set the tone off the bat. If it's something that the guys come out and they see and they think, okay, this is going to work with us, you can play freely then. And they got to come up and devise something that is going to be something that it's what they're doing, but they're going to throw some wrinkles to it to where Detroit's going to be like, what the hell is going on here? Players take the rest. They got to do it.
It's going to be really a fascinating game plan and game flow, and this is what you want, man.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm thinking we do. We're going to do a Wednesday vibe check. I am really curious where people are at on what they're most confident, what they're most nervous about going into this game. And I think I'll answer at the start. We'll open the phone lines up here. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. What are you most confident about? What are you most nervous about as Washington prepares to go to Detroit Saturday night, divisional round of the playoffs? We might have to remove this, but I think I'm not going to because that's how they've gotten here. Mm-hmm. Most confident in Jaden.
Yeah.
Jaden responds to the biggest moments, man.
He does.
And every moment keeps getting bigger.
And he's done it consistently.
Every moment keeps getting bigger, and he keeps responding.
Yeah.
I would also add, I've grown to be very confident in Dan Quinn's ability to ready a team to play. I think over the course of now 18 games, they've probably had one stinker. And I think as these moments have gotten bigger and bigger post-bye week late in the year, they've stepped it up each week and delivered. But what I'm most confident in is Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Beyond that, it would probably be Wagner, McLaurin.
Terry. I'm totally confident in Terry.
I'm confident in Ertz.
I'm in those two together.
Sure.
We kept saying early on, remember the first game, Terry didn't get involved. They sure in the hell got it working.
Totally.
Because since then, you got 14 touchdowns.
Totally. I think it's pretty damn remarkable what he's been able to put together. What am I most concerned about? The Lions run game. The Lions run game has been really damn good. I do want to give credit to Washington. They do appear to be able to make second half adjustments where they slow the opposing run game down. I do think this Lions team is a different beast, man.
I think the adjustments got to go before the halftime, though. You got to find a way to figure it out early and adjust.
And, dude, I'll be honest on this one, too. And I've been thinking about this more and more going back through my notes from the last time they played out in Detroit. And one thing that's unique about the Lions, it's kind of similar to the Superdome, if you remember. The press box is outdoors, for lack of a better word. Most stadiums, the press box is like a sequestered off area that's relatively silent because there's windows. There's like glass walls, if you will. So you can see everything, but you don't hear. You hear the crowd noise, but it's muted because of the walls or the windows, whatever it is. In Detroit, there's no windows or walls. Like, you sit in a separated area, but it's open air to the stadium. And you hear how loud that is. And I think for a team that makes a fair amount of checks, I think the noise, the crowd noise, can be a factor. I honestly do. Not in that they'll be intimidated or any of that, but if you're trying to make a check at the line of scrimmage and there's, whatever, 70,000 Honolulu Blue maniacs screaming, it impacts you. And it's a dome, dude. Like, these domes get louder because they have a roof. Like, there's nowhere for the noise to go. I'm not overhyping their crowd or any of that, but, like, there's a reason these domes could get so damn loud. And I'm not saying that's going to be an overwhelming factor, but I do think as Washington plays these really close games that go down to the wire, some of that could influence it. But by far, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery playing are what I'm most nervous about. Mm-hmm. What I'm most confident in is Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
800-636-1067 is the phone number. What are you most confident in for the Commanders going to Detroit on Saturday night?